The Last Wish of Bristol Keats by Mary E. Pearson. Read by Brittany Presley.
For my husband. I walked through a door with you, and it was magic. I never looked back. It was the stuff of legend. The torrid love affair between the Queen of Elfame and the Prince of Danu, and how they became the most bitter of enemies. In a fit of rage, the prince turned the young and lovely queen into a frog, and a passing crow snatched her up in its beak. She was never seen again. The story blossomed, as most do among bored and idle gentry, speculation abounding, until no one knew which version was true. But it didn't really matter, because in the end, everyone knows all legends have a secret life of their own. Anastasia Wiggins, Encyclopedia of Fairyland. Chapter 1. Four pink petals lined Bristol's windowsill, softer than silk, promising to brighten the darkest day.
"More,"
Deke whispered. He and the other sprites left in a frenzied cloud, returning to the garden until the rose was plucked bare and the wide stone sill was full. Was it enough? Deke had already told the other sprites why. By day's end, this room will be filled with misery. He had tasted the tears coming in the air, in the way only sprites could, a sweet saltiness that warmed the skin but crushed the heart. And he didn't want the mortal's heart bruised more than it already was. He was afraid it might stop beating altogether. He tasted that in the air, too. Bristol's room was spotless, her rampage erased. A fresh vase of hyacinths rested on her breakfast table, and the floor was free of shattered dishes. Butterflies glided over the forest floor, patterned carpet once again, and her fox's green eyes peered from his woven burrow in the corner. Even the smoky, singed ceiling above her bathtub was white and pristine again. The evidence of their bitter argument was gone, but inside, their hurtful words still lingered. Those would take longer to clean up. She skimmed past the thought instead of sinking into it, her sights set elsewhere. She raced through a room, stripping off yesterday's clothes as she gathered her riding gear and boots. Tigan was doing the same in his room, rushing to get ready. Their nearly sabotage quest had been given a second life. Today, with their team, they would rescue Kale. She remembered the cheer that rang out in Timbercrest Castle on Beltane Eve, when the smoky vision revealed that Kale was still alive. And even if he wouldn't admit to loving his brother, she saw the relief that washed over Tigan's face. No one, not even a king, should have to choose between duty and his brother's life. Today, Kale would be coming home. She sat on the chaise to lace her boots, but the open wardrobe doors drew her attention instead. Her stomach fluttered. Tigan's clothes hung beside hers once again. The Hobbs, who had discovered them thrown out in the hallway, probably hadn't known where else to put them. And she was surprised at the lightness unfurling inside her, a grip loosening in her chest. His clothes were back, and she was glad. Forgiveness is a thing of the heart. Had she forgiven him? That morning, in the pre-dawn hours, their legs still tangled beneath bedsheets, he pulled her close and kissed her palm. "We'll work this out, Bree. I promise," he whispered. But the full meaning of this remained unclear. Maybe for now it had to stay vague, so they could patch together one part of their life before they tried to fix the rest. Tigan told her he had Eris working on the council, sending messages to them in all their far-flung homes, recalling them to the palace for a new vote concerning her father, and he had already rescinded the kill order for her mother. "But that doesn't mean your mother won't be taken prisoner. She will." Bristol understood that, at least for now. Being a prisoner would give her mother the pause she needed to shake the spell Cormac had cast over her. Strangely, Bristol's worry for her father had eased. Troes hadn't taken him after all. Cormac still believed he was dead, and Tigan was working to stop the hunt for him. She guessed her father would be fine,